Well, last week we began Hilchas Yichud. Began by looking at a Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in the Sugyos of Yichud, Pei Amud Beis Maseches Kiddushin. And that Mishnah, you'll remember, introduced us to a host of important concepts. Number one, the Mishnah introduces that there is an Isser of Yichud, and the Mishnah begins to talk about Heterim of Yichud. You'll remember Rabbi Shechter's line that he had mentioned in the beginning of last year, that Yichud is a study of Kulis, because once you know the Isser, the question is what are the tools you can see Matir, and what are the specifics when each Heter applies. So the Mishnah already begins to present Kulis specifically of two types. The Mishnah already begins to present to us both as sometimes the matir is an introduced and added person, a shomer, into the situation. Reuven and Leah to be alone together, probably Yichud, but if you have Shimon there also, so Shimon will be the shomer to mitigate the Isser of Reuven and Leah being alone. And meanwhile, even though Shimon is there with Leah, but Reuven's presence, he's the shomer for Shimon. So that's one type of matir, is introducing a shomer. And the Mishnah already begins to talk about, to raise the point that not every added person is going to be an acceptable shomer. And the Mishnah told us in broad strokes, you add another, a second male, so an added man will be a shomer, an added woman would not qualify as a shomeris, unless she's my wife. That's the presentation in the Mishnah. And then Mishnah goes on at the end to introduce another type of matir of Yichud. Sometimes it's not that there's a shomer, but that because of the status or relationship of the two people involved, there is no Yichud. For parents and children to be alone, for mother and son to be alone, for father and daughter to be alone, there's no shomer there, just the two of them, but that's absolutely Hetzer Gomer because of who he is, because of who she is, because of their parents and child. So you already have not only multiple dinim, but multiple categories. You're already introduced to the notion there'll be more to say about both. That sometimes some people qualify as shomerim, others don't. And then sometimes, even without an added shomer, the relationship between two people alone is enough to permit this situation. And you'll remember that we saw in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch quoted the Rambam as he so often does. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Chav Beis, Sif Aleph quotes the Rambam in Perek Chav Beis, Halacha Aleph, where he introduces his din as the Isser of Yichud, Minat Torah between Arayos, Midrabanan, even if they're not, and the man and woman not an Erva to one another, Minat Torah only if they're an Erva. I mean, there's a Isser Bia with that the Bia would be an Isser Kares. So if they have that relationship, they're an heir to one another, either that she's a married woman, or that they're relatives, or, as the Rambam goes on to make clear, erva because she's a nida, even though she's a single unrelated woman, but she's a nida. So Shulchan Aruch the Rambam, there's an Isser of Yichud, except in the three situations, whether it's mother-son, father-daughter, or generally husband-wife. Husband-wife, so how they're an erva? Answer no. Husband-wife, but she happens to be a nida. Part-time of the month, she's a nida. So she is, the Rambam implies, an erva. But these three situations, despite the fact that parents and children are raised to one another, or a nida and her husband are erva to one another, but no Isser Yichud. Implication, by the way, being that if a nida with someone who is not her husband is Yichud Daraisa, is an erva and is an Isser D'Oraisa of Yichud. If she's a married woman, it's a D'Oraisa anyway, whether she's Nida or not, because she's an Isser Zesh. If you're a single woman who's a Nida, for a Jewish man to have Yichud with a Nida Penuya, with a single woman who is a Nida, who hasn't gone to mikveh, whether, as Post can point out, well, whether she's, doesn't matter what time of the month it is, even if she hasn't bled in a long time, but if she hasn't gone to mikveh since the last time that she menstruated, so she remains. She stays with the status of anida minat Torah until she goes to mikvah. So you have a single woman who's anida, so the yichud with her is going to be an isa d'oraisa. And then Sif Bei Shohar goes on to say, but there could be other cases where it's not yichud d'oraisa, either in a situation of a penuya, a single woman who is not anida, which nowadays is a rarity in younger years, or yichud between a Jew and a non-Jew. Those two cases are not asur min haTorah, but they are asur midrabanan, pretty ancient dinim midrabanan that appears in Sif Beis. We also saw last time, and with this we wrap up our wrap-up, we saw last time also, you remember the Gemara had asked a series of two questions. We represented the Mishnah, Yichud, two men and a woman Mutter, two women and a man Aser, and the Mishnah, the Gemara proceeded to ask two questions. What was the second question the Gemara asked? Very good. What was the first question the Gemara asked? My timer. Right, the second question was, what's the source? And the Gemara gave a pasuk. And that the unless your parents and children, or perhaps some similar type of relationship, two unrelated people, man and woman, unrelated, cannot be alone b'seisa. That was the answer to Rami. That's how you see the psukim as an iser of yichud. My taima was the explanation of why added woman doesn't serve as a sole marriage, while added man does. It's all about the fact that the mefarshim and the Gemara point out it seems like the iser of yichud daraisa and iser of yichud rabbanan. But not immediately is how do you know that in two people, one man, one woman, that's an iser yichud. If that's b'seisa, that's an iser yichud daraisa. And here's the pasuk b'seisa. Once you have what three is a crowd. Once you have three people, it's no longer iser yichud min haTorah. Whether it's us and drabbanan or not, that depends. That's what the Mishnah says. Depends. Two men and a woman, two women and a man. So the Maitaima was a question about why are the drabbanan structured as they are. So you already have an iser yichud daraisa according to both, if not all, Rishonim. And it said that that's only one and one. And once you have three or more people, it won't be us and min haTorah, but will at times be aser midrabbanan. Okay, so that's where we were last time. That's how we opened things up. And now we turn our attention to the next twist that the Gemara gives us. Yeah. Let's go. I'll say to our Gemara a little bit, and we're gonna see some pieces of Gemara. We're gonna see how they play themselves out in Shavuot. Take a look at there's one loose thread that we haven't dealt with yet that really relates to Mishnah. We'll come back to it perhaps. Okay, off of it. The two dots in the bottom of Kehilat Beis. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. The Gemara Mishnah says Ish Achas Em Shnei Anoshim. That two men and a woman is fine. You add a man, he's a valid shomer, now it's fine. Two guys, a woman is fine. The Gemara says, well, sometimes. I'm a Rav. Rav Yehuda quoted the name of Rav. Lo, Shanu El Biksherim. Ava the Prutzim, I feel Bay Asar, Nami Lo. Again, the bottom of Pei Amid Beis, around six lines, seven lines from the bottom. Rav Yehuda quotes the name of his Rebbe, Rav. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is one of the major Amoraim of the second generation in Bavel. So he's a Talmud of both of the Gedol Amoraim of the first generation. Sometimes you hear Rav Yehuda Amorav, sometimes you hear Rav Yehuda Amor Shmuel. So here's Rav Yehuda, quotes the name of Rav, and the names are important as we're going to see when we get to the next Amud. Rav Yehuda quotes the name of Rav, that when the Mishnah said Akula, that a Shomer works, it's only if he is kosher, but not if he's treif, not if he's a parts. If he's a person of loose morals, so then the fact that you have a lot of people there doesn't help. Even 10 men, and one is more parts than the next, and Isser Yichud, a woman, it would be Isser Yichud for a woman to walk in there, into that room. We go walk into, Gemara explains, Hava Maisa, Vahotziyu Asar B'mita. Gemara records a situation where there was a whole group of men that wanted him as not one particular woman. Listen to that, it sounds like a rape situation, or it seems that this was not that. It seems like it was not that, this was willing. And she was interested in being Mazana with this group of men, but they lived in a village, and word spreads. People are going to know. So what do they do? The Gemara says, Hotziyu asar b'mita. These 10 people carried her out. What does that mean? They took her out on a bed. The bed means here a stretcher. Rashi says, Bechezka Shehimesa. In other words, they made pretend they staged a funeral. Sounds like so they could get her out of the village to the cemetery. So no, we're watching. And then the Kilkulima. And they were all Mazana with her. So what's the point of the Gemara telling us this dastardly story? To make the point that if you're dealing with people who are prutzim, so that they're not going to have enough of a sense of shame for one another, that it's not the presence of one is not going to inhibit the other from violating the chet. As a matter of fact, and Rav Yosef has a fascinating raya. Rav Yosef apparently, there was some of that Maromer Bala Tshuva. Rav Shlakish has been a mobster in his time. But Rav Yosef apparently was a tzaddik from a young age. So he says, but I can deduce that this is what happens. He says, Amar Rav Yosef, five lines to the bottom of payment base. Teda, you should know this is true. The michbari be'asar v'gan v'kshur v'lo michbari me'adadi. You know that 10 people get together to steal an enormous piece of wood, an enormous piece of lumber, and they're apparently not embarrassed. Rashi points out, well, why kashura? Why a piece of lumber? Sheyeshba masri la'asara. As the sort of piece of wood that's heavy enough that you need 10 people to carry it. And it sounds like what Yosef is saying is, we see sometimes that large things get stolen. How is that possible? Let's be detectives. Well, how did it disappear? No one person could have stolen it. So I didn't see it happen, but obviously, it must be that there was a group. I can deduce without, I'm not Reish Lakish, I never met a group of bandits, but I can deduce that gangs must exist because there are crimes that occur that can't be a one-person job. So obviously, Yosef says, as we see, B'noeg Shabbolam, that people work together to do averus, even though most people would be embarrassed to do those averus in front of others. But apparently, Yosef says, once if you're dealing with people all of the same degree of immorality, so then you're not embarrassed. So the Gemara says, so that's why we talk about adding one additional man to the situation, that's going to resolve the problem. Gemara says, that's fine if the added person is kosher. But if the added person is a parrot, so his presence is not inhibiting. So that's not going to solve anything. The Gemara says, as the Gemara said, if you have 10 people, there's to walk into a frat house. A woman's going to walk into a frat house. It could be there are 10, 20 guys in there. And certainly, stereotypically, none of them are people of exquisite morals. It's mamash and esriichot. There may be a large crowd there, but it's still an esriichot. That's what Gemara says. That's what Gemara says. Yeah, Yossi.
So if we're judging the situation based on who's there, then isn't the whole measuring it by people kind of pointless? Because if you're to say, oh, well, if there's one person, two people together, a man and a woman is not good, but a woman, another man there would be good, except for if he's loose morals. So like you're judging each situation based on who's in there, which kind of defeats the purpose of making a quantitative number of people who make Yichud kosher, not kosher, like whatever the situation is. And also then wouldn't we, if we're basing it on morals, then wouldn't we base it on if there was one man and one woman, but we know that the man is of the highest morals, then why can't we judge it that way also?
That's you're asking two excellent questions, and the two excellent questions really fit together. One question you're asking, the second question you're asking is, once you say the more kosher are, the better it is, so why not say the guy's such a tzaddik, he doesn't need any shomer at all? That was your second question. And your first question was, I think, essentially touching on the following point, that there is a tension in formulating the principles of yichud between, in halacha in general, but in Hilchos Yichud in particular, between trying to be very localized, specific in terms of all the details of every situation, and trying to give sturdy general principles. In other words, on the one extreme, you could say, if you go to one extreme, you could say, oh, you know, two people is always a shomer, always fine, no matter, without paying any attention to who the two people are. But we don't do that. On the other extreme, you could have said, you know, no one's ever good. Because not everyone's good, no one's ever good. So we don't go to that extreme of being very general. On the other hand, we don't go to the extreme of extreme granularity, where mamish, like, you're assessing every situation with 101 different details. So what we have, partially daraisa, much of it is probably drabbanon, because many of these rules apply specifically when yichud only drabbanon to begin with, when three people. Some of the coolest even apply by a two-person situation, yichud daraisa. what we're going to see is that the way the details of Yichud are structured is sort of like a balance, some granularity but not total granularity. In other words, there are certain factors that are formalized as, oh, if you have this, so then it's mutter. We're going to see. The woman's husband is in town, all of a sudden that's mutter. Why? Because that adds a degree of added inhibition. Well, we'll get to the sugi, we'll get to it in detail. Right? Or here, you added a person and he's kosher, so that a man is kosher, all of a sudden that adds enough. Now, you could be done. There's always more to be done. Well, what's their relationship? What's he like? What's that? They don't have personalities. So we don't go to the extreme of total granularity and making a new call every time, because that's not a sustainable system. And le'idachi, so we don't just say everything's mutter, everything's awesome. So there's some degree of granularity. There is a balance to be struck. Now, in terms of that speaks in part also to your second point, but why don't we just, let's say, he's so super kosher that he could eat on Yichud on his own. Well, the truth is, part of the answer to that is that everyone does have taivas, and we try our hardest to control them, but part of Hilchos Yichud is Chazal's very, in part the Chumash, and Chazal's very realistic assessment of human nature. As a matter of fact, take a look, now that you raised it, at the Agadata Pe'alf Amidav. Sometimes, Rav Cook, I think, writes, I quote the name of Rav Cook, but just like Mesechtas of Shas, the halachic sugyas tend to be about the topic of the Mesechta, not exclusively, but most of the sugyas in Sukkah are about Sukkah. Sukkah, lulav, sinuch beis yoreh. There are other things that come up in Sukkah, but the vast majority of the sukkahs in Sukkah are about sukkahs. Right? So Rav Cook is, as they say in Rav Cook, the same is true for the Agadah also. And most of the Agadah and Masechta will have to do with the machshava of that topic. So for instance, you have a number of very fundamental theological gemaras in the first parak of Brachas about Tzadik Viralo, like major questions of Emuna, Hashkafa, which makes a lot of sense, because if we're talking there about the mitzvah of Kriyashma is the mitzvah of giving expression to Ikari Emuna. So it's not surprising that the Agaratas of Ikari Emuna would be there as well, with Cook's principle. So here it's actually incredibly spot on. Here the Agaratas are mamish, really about giving basis, examples of and basis to the concept of Yichud. The Gemara tells a series of stories. Let's take a look at one. About different holy tzaddikim and compromising situations they found themselves in. Arguably the most dramatic one is about the man who screamed fire. Take a look. The third payoff of an out, the third, the last word of the third wide line. Hanashvu Yaisa, the Asayel of the Harda'a. There was a group of women, Jewish women, who had been captured by pirates, and they were brought to Nahardah. Nahardah was a major Jewish community, in both of the larger Jewish communities in Bavel, and a major yeshiva as well. So the pirates came to Nahardah, and the community, the Nahardah community, paid ransom to free these women, and they were going to send them back to wherever. They didn't live in Nahardah. It doesn't sound like they must have lived wherever. And they were intercepted by pirates. The pirates brought them to Nahardah. Nahardah community paid the pirates to release the women, and then they were going to figure out how to get the women back home. So, but meanwhile, until we figure everything out and find them a ride, find them a camel ride, whatever it is, so they need a place to stay. So they put them, Askinu Lebei Rav Avram Chasidim. They brought them to the home of Avram Chasidim. They brought them up, meaning that what they put them on the top floor. You have to know that the way homes were built during that period, it would often be a two-floor house, but without, we take as a given that you have a two-story home and you have stairs that go from the first floor to the second floor. But that was not so common, but Tkufa Satalmud. What was common was that you had a hole in the wall, a hole in the ceiling, whatever, a hole in the second floor, and you had a ladder. And you could move the ladder to or from. So if you wanted to lock the second floor, you just move the ladder away. And then no one can go up or down until you bring the ladder back. Particularly if the ladder is very heavy. That's going to come up more than what's going to come up in some of the other Yichud stories, also some of the halachic Yichud stories. That's one way to lock someone into the second floor, is to take the ladder away. So we'll get to that. But here, these women are upstairs, and Ashkulu Darga Mikamayim. and they move the ladder away. Rav Amram has no business going up there. That's their apartment now. So they put the ladder away. Put the ladder away. I'm sorry? No, overnight. Overnight.
Oh, okay.
You know, overnight, they're going to be there. They're going to have their privacy. The ladder's not there. No one's coming up. They have their privacy overnight.
Yeah.
But the hole wasn't closed. They hadn't closed the lid. So Rav Amram is downstairs. One of them is walking by close to the doorway or the hole, or whatever you call it, the skylight to the second floor. And Nafal Nahor bi Puma, and the light was, I guess it wasn't maybe it was the end of the day, so the light was coming at an angle. And light came such that he was able to caught a sight of one of the women, who was very taken by her. And Shakle Rav Amram Ladarga, Rav Amram takes this ladder, Lavi Yacham Be'asur LeMedalia. Normally, 10 people would be enough. You would need a whole group of such a heavy ladder. You need a whole group of people to move it, which is why they thought. A whole group of people, they brought them there, they'd moved the ladder, and they had their privacy. Rav Amram, the tzaddik, was so taken by desire, by passion for that woman that he had spied up there, that the adrenaline was pumping. He takes this ladder and brings it over. You read sometimes these very inspiring stories and of life and death situations. You get this incredible burst of adrenaline, and people lift things to extract children from under cars, weights that they normally could not lift. So here, it wasn't that this passion saved someone's life. He was a passion to be mezana with this woman.
Wait, the thing we just said at the beginning is that, so you can have a case where something that you think could only be done by 10 people can be done by one person.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
I have this great desire.
I'm not sure that's quite the same.
Also, this is not that this is a kosher.
No, it's not that he
can use the lobby like that. Dalia Lechude. He moved the ladder on his own. Salak Viazel. And he starts going up the ladder. To get up there to sit with one of these women. But here's the incredible part of the story is yet to come. Kimata lapal gadarga. He's halfway up the ladder. And he realizes, Gevalt, what am I doing? What am I doing? Where am I going? What am I doing? What on earth am I doing? I've been mezana with one of these women? Who am I? What am I thinking? But he doesn't go down. He doesn't go down the ladder. Because apparently the passion is so strong, the type is so strong, he can't get himself down the ladder. But he doesn't want to let himself go up the ladder. He is both figuratively and literally sort of like caught between where he should be and where he ought to be and where he desires to be. And apparently, it's like a very, very powerful scene to imagine. He can't get himself down, but doesn't want to let himself up. And he realizes that he doesn't have the willpower to just go down and put the ladder away. Maybe he would not be able to put the ladder away. But he doesn't have the willpower to just go down. But he doesn't want to let himself get up. Ifshach. Where are we? Ifshach. So he like spreads his legs out, like presses his legs against the sides of the ladder. Like Myra's like trying to like hold on, like he doesn't let himself go up. And what's he going to be realizing? This is not a sustainable situation. So what does he do? The only thing he can do is bring other people in. So he starts yelling fire, which is the quickest way to get people to come. So Ramakala, Nura Be'Amram, starts screaming there's fire in Amram's house. The whole bucket brigade shows up. Where's the fire? Asar Abanan. So all the Tamei Chacham come in, and this is like, it's hard to imagine how awkward the situation must have been. Right? You walk into the Rav's home, and Nebuch, and sometimes it happens in other situations also. And walking around them, you find him in an incredibly compromised position. Asar Abanan. And they say to him, Siftinan. This is very embarrassing. It's like, this is awkward beyond words. And what does he say? Mutav tichstu, forget about it. You embarrassed us, and he's embarrassed. Imagine that. He threw his whole reputation in the garbage. See, he says, "Mutav tichsu be'arum ba'alma denvo tichsu minel alma dasi." Better that you should be embarrassed of me now than be embarrassed of me all nava. In other words, he was ready to make, he was ready to throw away his entire reputation on Mazeh in order that he not, he understood that Al Mahabu meant more. So the story speaks at the same time to incredible strength of will to do the right thing, and to the incredible strength of a Yetzirah when a person is caught by Taiva to do the wrong thing. So Rav Amram is very inspiring. The way he responds to this Taiva is very inspiring. Do whatever he needs to do to diffuse the situation. But at the same time, it's a reminder that everyone needs boundaries. And that's where the Rambam, you have the Rambam in the packet. Take a look at the Rambam. Rambam actually quotes this Agarata. Take a look at the way he quotes it. The Gemara has more such Agaratas. More of these sorts. Rambam says, this is a problem for everyone. Halachi Yudches, the very end of Perich HaBiz. Ein lecha davar b'chol ha-Torah kula shu kashla rov ha-am el-lifrash min ha-rayas ha-biyas ha-suras. For many people, for most people, maintaining Kedusha in the sexual realm, avoiding sexual Yitzirah, is the most difficult thing. Amru chacham v'shashin stav yisrael ha-rayas b'chol. That's a famous comment the Gemara has, that Kala Yisrael had a hard time accepting these restrictions. The kibul mitzvahu b'taromas u'b'chia. Ebochel mishpachosav. Perichav beit alach yudches. It goes on to say. That the other more b'amari chazalva. This is a very common taiva. Amru chachamim gezel arayos nafshu adam misavela machmedasan. Other people's money, gezel and sexual desire are two very powerful desires. And then the Rambam makes a startling comment. There is no Jewish community at any time in Jewish history that didn't have some prutzim. Wow. That's a striking statement. You read as Hadaris might mean that the top level has gone down over time. The maximum has gone down. But there were always people who were doing real course of his. That has always been the case. It goes on and quotes more and more. And then the next halacha begins to say that you have to be aware of the fact that everyone has Yetzer Hara, and be realistic and figure out how you're going to manage your Yetzer Hara. And he says you have to be careful about Gedarim, and Yichud is the Gorim HaGadol. He goes on to say that Chazal were careful about Yichud. And there was sometimes, he quotes other Agadotas here, there was sometimes even in Teller Talmidim, oh, I need to stay here, because Yichud, they seized opportunities to mention to the Talmidim that they were being careful about Yichud. Shelo yizbayishu mi davar zeh, v'yisrachu Yichud. So people shouldn't be embarrassed. People shouldn't be embarrassed. Sometimes it is awkward to say, excuse me, this is a Yichud problem, I have to leave. But fundamentally, so you have to know your audience. Sometimes other people in the room may feel awkward if you start talking Yichud. Obviously, you have to use the seichel. But fundamentally, one should be proud. The Isser Yichud is for everyone. We don't want to say Yichud is for everyone. No. Yichud is for no one. The Isser Yichud, the restriction on Yichud is for everyone. And that's in the Chanamim. Some people may have an easier time controlling the Yetzirah, some people have a harder time controlling the Yetzirah. But the dinim apply across the board. And one assumes that stories of the sort that the Gemara tells about Rav Amram will happen less often among tzaddikim who have worked on themselves than among other people. They're going to have tougher armor, and they'll be able to rebuff the Yetzirah more. But that means they're going to rebuff the Yetzirah 100%. So this Yichud applies, even if a person is... there isn't a dispensation because of such a super enormous tzaddik that the Yichud doesn't apply. Sadly, as an aside, sadly we know there have been too many situations, not necessarily tzaddikim, but of rabbinic figures and lay people also, who have abused their leadership position to take advantage, sometimes sexual advantage, of other people, of men, of women, of children. That's incredibly, k'ziftinon, that's incredibly embarrassing. Incredibly embarrassing. It would have been better if they would have gotten out with their olam haba intact. Sometimes there's a sickness, sometimes not. Certainly the desire to be mezana is not itself a sickness. That's a normal part of the desire to be mezana is part of the human psyche that needs to be managed well. when it's in an abusive presentation, sometimes it may speak to mental illness or not. That's a discussion among experts. But it is very, 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 very important to remember that yichud applies to everyone. And that's often a telltale sign. If a rabbinic figure or otherwise, there is telling people that, oh, with me there's no issur yichud, that's a red flag that you should run the other way. That's very, very important. Particularly important for young women to know. That if a male rebbe is telling them, it's okay, meet with me alone because I'm a tzaddik, there's no issur yichud, that's keneged adin, A. And that sort of boundary breaking is not only technically it's an issur yichud, so I can't meet with him alone, but that's sadly no joke. It does happen. Baruch Hashem, it happens rarely. Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of people out there are not abusers. Unfortunately, abusers tend to have many victims. People, the ones who are good at it, but are effective at the crime that they're committing, tend to repeat again and again and again. So this is something to be sensitive to. Yeah, no.
When we say what Rob said on after the two dots, how do we have to break down the two to three? Because he says sharing and prutzim. Rebbe explained it to be the shomer is either cup. We know that maybe it's all three of them are sharing.
Two men and a woman. You're asking, let's say, one kasher, one parts, and a woman. Is that okay?
Right.
So we'll get to deals, we'll get to Shulchan Aruch. But just bear in mind, misvara, what's your usual setup here? I have Reuben and Leah, right? That's the problem. Right? Reuben and Leah, that's the Yichud. Even if it's Rabbi Reuven, Dr. Reuven, Hagon HaTzadik Reuven, Reuven and Leah Issur Yichud. Just to be clear, I wasn't saying that, just to be very, very clear, I was not implying that Rav Amram was an abuser. There's no indication of that in the Gemara. He just wanted to meet Mizana probably consensually with this woman, or whatever would have happened. But I am saying that the Nakuda that Yichud applies to everyone, we see from Rav Amram, even a non-abusive situation, but it has, unfortunately, particular poignancy in situations of abuse. Reuben and Leah, it sets up a red flag for abuse situations. Reuben and Leah is the issur yichud. If I introduce Shimon, they say, well, the idea is that Reuben is a shomer for Shimon and Leah, and Shimon is a shomer for Reuben and Leah. So if one is a kasher, one is a paretz, so the paretz might not be doing aveira, ironically, but the kasher is, because he doesn't have a valid shomer. But let's continue the Gemara and then we'll come back. The Gemara quotes a potential raya, but let's leave that aside and let's skip to the next statement, that the next memra on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, the top line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, again, Rav Yehuda called the name of Rav. Lo shanu ela bo'ir, ava baderech atchiu shlosha. Limitation number two is, when did the Mishnah say two men and a woman? Reuven, Shimon, Leah is fine. A, Reuven, Shimon better be kosher. And B, they better be ba'ir, in town. But if they are basada, they're out in the field, on hike, outside of the ear, then achiyu shlosha. Then you need to have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Leah. Again, I'm not referring to, obviously, Leah, the mother of Reuven, Shimon, Leah. Just some... Yeah, about Leah. Slow points. An unrelated woman. Three extra points if you can find her in Tanakh. Slel Ponis.
What? I'll just look it up on
Slel Ponis.
Not now.
Three extra points on what?
Come. The Gemara says. Gemara says a second limitation is that if you're out in the fields, outside the city, you need to have three people, three men and a woman, instead of two. How come? The Gemara says something very, very practical. If you only have two, Two men and women is fine. The two men, if they're both kshayim, they keep each other honest. No one keeps each other honest. That's right. And no one's going to leave until we're all leaving because we know that this is Yichud and we're all kshayim. But if you're traveling and you're outside of town, so you're going to need to use, someone's going to need to use the bathroom eventually, and you're traveling and it's, they're not talking about formal rest stops, so you're roughing it. So what's going to happen? You want to use the bathroom politely, so that means you walk sideways away from the trail for a couple of minutes to get some privacy, and you'll come back a couple minutes later. So, but you're going to be creating a pocket of time where there's a yichud problem. So that's why if you're in a situation like Baderech, where you know that people are going to need to leave and come back, so then yichud is only mutter if you have three. That means you have three. So then, even if three men and women, even one man leaves, you still have two left. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara tells a story. I want to read this halachic story with you. And looking at the clock, I'm going to leave you with some kashas for next time. Kashas, and from the next time, Richard will pick up with working through the terutzim to the story, and that will, maybe next time we will begin with the story, to work out the details of Kashrut and Parut, to work out the details of Baderech, and even if you don't do hiking very often, we're going to see, based on the Rive, the din of Baderech applies half the time. For half of your life, you're in a Baderech situation.
Wait, where did you go?